Time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. Moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined this week by the San Francisco Chronicle music critic, Joshua Cosman, and technical editor, Kara Pace. Here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you're having a lovely evening and a very nice beginning of the Christmas season. Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so of course we're welcoming your participation out there. It's very important you give us a call if you have a question or answer for us. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So again, it's up to you. Give us a call with a question or answer. Sometimes it does get slightly crowded toward the end of the show, but if you call soon, we will get you on soon. So again, 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Just to remind you of our email address, and it is a new email address, and I will be saying that every week. Ad infinitum. And that is Minds Over Matter, MindsOverMatter, 1. And that is the numeral 1, not the word 1. So the numeral 1, MindsOverMatter1@gmail.com. As Josh pointed out, somebody has Minds Over Matter on its own at Gmail, so I don't know who it is. But it's Minds Over Matter, the numeral 1, at gmail.com. So please direct all your email there. Somebody hacked into my Yahoo account, so can't use that anymore. And what is this? Is this for me? She wrote 2?
Yeah. I updated my intro.
All right. You updated it. Okay.
I did.
And just to remind you of our Yes, so you can hear us all over the world on KALW.org. That is KALW.org. And you can also listen to the podcast of the show. It should be available reasonably soon after our program tonight. Also at KALW.org and iTunes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, all that being said, we will start with a round of introduction and a round of questions. Kira's supplied me 2, but 1 is a version of the first, I guess.
No,
is it? No,
no,
it's not.
It's
it has
different.
Nothing to do with the first. You want me to read this one?
Yes.
Okay. Kira Pace wonders, which of her questions will get Josh Cosman into trouble this time?
Yes.
How did you get into trouble last time?
Well, last time we had that discussion about the Beatles' Abbey Road and how unspecial it was. And
right. Yeah, I said some things that were taken the wrong way.
did you really get a lot of grief for that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of grief in the sense of...
You're
you
used
know,
to that, though.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of grief in the sense of, like, two people.
Two people.
Two people?
Yeah, Sparky had some words to say to me on my Facebook page.
All right.
Special words.
They were good words, Brett.
You survived to tell the story, so that's good. And
all right.
We'll begin the questioning. Oh, no,
we
are going to begin the questioning. Go ahead. You confused me.
Sorry. Joshua Cosman is about ready for the network to pull the plug on 2017 and hopeful that next season there will be some women in the writer's room. Yeah, next year in Israel, Josh.
And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, thinks that if Vladimir Putin says this radio show is the best thing on the air, then by God, it must be true.
That's right. Okay. And we'll begin with Kira Pace.
Okay. I'm going to start with a couple high culture, low culture questions. It's all the same question, but there's 4 people. So tell me the name of these artists whose works run the brow gamut from high to low. So the first one is the Palme d'Or and Golden Lion winning director who voiced the planet-eating Unicron in Transformers the movie. I want the 9-time Grammy Award-winning opera singer who debuted in his signature role, Otello, in 1975, and as the long-haired Chihuahua Montezuma in Beverly Hills Chihuahua in 2008. I'd like the Nobel Prize-winning American author with critical views on capitalism and materialism who helped popularize tennis by ghostwriting Tennis As I Play It in 1915. And finally, the Pulitzer Prize-winning graphic novelist responsible for Wacky Packages and the Garbage Pail Kids.
First of all, bravo. What a wonderful question.
All right. You better read the whole thing once more.
Okay. So four people. The first one, right. A Palme d'Or and Golden Lion winning director who voiced the planet-eating Unicron in Transformers the Movie. It was 1986.
1986?
Yes.
Okay.
The second person is a 9-time Grammy Award-winning opera singer who debuted in his signature role of Otello in 1975 and as the long-haired Chihuahua Montezuma in Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2008. The Nobel Prize-winning American author with critical views on capitalism and materialism who helped popularize tennis by ghostwriting Tennis As I Play It in 1915. And finally, the Pulitzer Prize-winning graphic novelist responsible for Wacky Packages and the Garbage Pail Kids.
What do you think, Josh? No,
well,
you do.
I got a couple of. The opera one is Plácido Domingo.
Okay.
That's correct.
All right. Good job. Oh, this is a real wacky guess. Is the first one Lars von Trier?
No. That's a good guess. But the Transformers, the movie, instead of being at the beginning of his career, I will tell you that it is right at the end of it.
Oh.
Huh.
All right. Well, that makes a difference. 1985, was
86.
That? 86.
It was his last role.
Hmm.
Director. And non-American director.
Oh, no. American.
Oh, American.
Just also won a Palme d'Or and a Golden Lion, in Venice. Very famously, virtually no Academy Awards. I think one for script writing. I think that was probably it.
Not Hitchcock.
No.
And
the graphic novelist who invented Wacky Packages was, mm-hmm, and the Garbage Pail Kids, that was Art Spiegelman.
Yep. Won his special Pulitzer for Mouse, and also created the Garbage Pail Kids.
Yep.
The one that did the ghostwriting for the tennis book, that's not Bertrand Russell, is it?
Mm-mm.
Ooh, good guess, though.
1915.
A Nobel Prize? Is that what you said?
Prize-winning American author.
Oh. Had they won the Nobel Prize?
In 1915, I think it's probably pretty safe to say he. In 1915, no. He won his Nobel about 15 years later.
Sinclair Lewis?
Sinclair Lewis, that's right.
You beat me to it, but I was going to say Upton Sinclair, but meaning Sinclair Lewis.
Right.
They're the same person, as far as I can tell.
Yes.
All right.
So we got three of the four, and we don't have the director, but we should leave that for the.
And that was the end of their career,
the listening audience.
Yes. So the Palme d'Or and Golden Lion winning director who voiced the planet-eating Unicron in Transformers the Movie,
yes.
Orson Welles.
Nicely done. Okay.
All right. Okay. Good. All right, Josh, you go ahead.
All right. Well, actually, I'd forgotten about our little Abbey Road fiasco because I came in with a Beatles question. I have a list of words here. I have 12. I think we'll do 6 tonight, and if we run through them, I can do the other 6, or I can leave them for another week. These are words that appear exactly once in the entire lyrics of all the Beatles songs. So each of these appears in a Beatles song.
Okay.
It's the only one that it contains this word. I want you to tell me, given the word, what the song is. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Science. Insecure. Perfectly. Postcards. Crawled. And existence. One more time. Each of these is a word that appears exactly once in the Beatles catalog, in the lyrics. Science, insecure, perfectly, postcards, crawled, existence.
Is the science word, is that in the Dr. Pepper? Is that in the Sgt. Pepper album?
No.
Okay. All right.
I don't know Beatles lyrics offhand this quickly, or I guess that okay. would be offhand. But is Postcards Eleanor Rigby?
No.
Okay.
Good guess, but not right.
Give the whole thing once more.
All right, one more time. These are all words that appear exactly once in the Beatles' lyrical catalog. I want to know what song each of these words appears in. Science, Insecure, Perfectly, Postcards, Crawled, Existence.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
You're from Hayward.
Hi, Gareth.
Was that off or off? Were you referring to Art Spiegelman?
Yes, the graphic novelist was indeed Art Spiegelman.
Right.
Yeah, those wacky packages. Harvey Kurtzman had a part in those, too.
Oh, that's right. Harvey Kurtzman.
Mad Magazine.
Of Mad Magazine fame, exactly.
Yeah, I got a couple questions for you. The first one's for Josh.
Go.
British composer Benjamin Franklin was one of two composers who was on fire during World War II. Who was the other?
One more time, Gareth. I didn't make that out.
Benjamin Frankel was one of two composers who was on fire duty during World War II. Who was the other?
Oh, who did fire duty?
Yeah.
Oh, Shostakovich was a fire...
Yes, give yourself a bell.
Yeah.
Here's my second question. What was the only feature film that involved auto racing that had a scene that was actually filmed at the factory?
The only film that involved auto racing that had a scene filmed where?
The factory factory.
I'm sorry, I still can't make that out.
You're breaking up.
Maranello.
Didn't get that.
Maranello?
Maranello?
Yeah, that's the Maranello, Italy. Yeah, the Ferrari factory. Yeah.
Oh. Ooh. So
I'll give you a clue. It had James Garner.
Oh. Le Mans?
No,
Grand Prix. Grand Prix. Is it Grand Prix?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gareth. All right. Let me do a couple of questions here. Set, S-E-T, the word, has the most meanings in the Oxford English Dictionary, 464. What are the four runners-up?
Oh, my gosh.
Set, S-E-T, the word, has the most meanings in the Oxford English Dictionary, 464. What are the four runners-up?
They are, I believe, all verbs, and they're all short. And I should remember what it... I mean, because it only overtook the runner-up like in the past couple of years. Is it do?
No.
No.
Josh?
Or let?
No.
Okay.
Those are good guesses. Dang. I don't have any good guesses. I'm going to guess list.
No. So, set, S-E-T, the word, has the most meanings in the Oxford English Dictionary, 464.
Jeez,
what are the four runners-up?
And are they all evenly, are they tied for second place?
Or are they tied, but they're all reasonably,
close.
They're all little tiny verbs. They're like see.
Well, you
or something
say
like that,
but like to be is not, probably has like five meanings or something. Mm. See, get, how about get?
No.
See?
No.
Okay.
All right. Leave that out. And let's see. Yesterday was the birthday of this famous historical figure. Who was the first American to compete in the modern-day Olympic pentathlon? Stockholm, 1912. This person is obviously famous for other things.
Oh, is he famous for football by any chance?
No, it has nothing to do with football.
Then I am out of guesses.
This is someone who was born on November 11th.
Yes.
12th.
Today is the 12th.
Today is the 12th.
Yes. Okay. Don't mind me.
Born on November 11th.
He was an athlete.
He was not an athlete. Well, he was an athlete in his youth.
He was an athlete in the sense that he competed in the...
That's not what the person was famous for.
Because he didn't do very well.
I don't think he finished.
No,
or I think he made an error someplace and he was disqualified.
Don't know.
Anyway, yesterday was the birthday of this very famous American historical figure who was the first American to compete in the modern-day Olympic pentathlon. That was in Stockholm, Sweden, in 1912. This person is very famous for other things, not being an athlete.
Oh, now he's very famous.
He is very famous.
Is he still alive?
Not still alive. Okay. 1912?
All right. Oh, yeah, obviously had good genes.
Yeah.
All right.
He did not die of natural causes.
Whoa. The Lindbergh baby? No.
Nope.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, Sparky Maddie. We're in early. How are you doing?
Hey.
And I thought I was rather kind regarding Abbey Road to you.
You were. I never used the word unkind.
You're right. You are right. But I'm going to go with three out of the six Beatle words.
Okay.
Perfectly is in Fool on the Hill.
Correct. You want to give us the context?
Man with a Thousand Voices talking perfectly loud.
Okay, good.
Postcard, that's from Two of Us.
Mm-hmm, good.
Two of Us writing postcard.
There you go.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Existence, that's Tomorrow Never Knows.
Right, well done. You got the hard ones.
Yeah, I leave it to everyone else. Dana, your question about who competed in the modern pentathlon.
Yes.
That was George Patton.
George Patton, General George Patton, yes, excellent.
And kind of appropriate. So his birthday was yesterday, yeah?
It was.
Which even more appropriate.
Hmm. Armistice Day.
Veterans Day.
Right.
Yeah,
okay,
now.
We're done.
Now. We older people refer to it as Armistice
Day.
True. Okay, we're done.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Yes, George Patton was the first American to compete in the modern Olympic pentathlon.
Hmm.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Yes, let me turn the radio down.
Please do.
Hey there, I think Insecure is in Help.
Yes,
okay.
Well done.
Yeah, very good.
Okay, and this is, I don't know, I'm not sure about this one at all, but is science in Maxwell Silverhammer?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Maxwell studied pataphysical science in the home.
Yeah, I know he was in medicine, so I thought he might be in science. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Well done.
Okay.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. We certainly would welcome that. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You're listening to us on, no secret here, 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace from the San Francisco Chronicle, their classical music critic Joshua Cosman. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And Kira, it is your turn.
First of all, it's make. Make was the runner-up word.
Right? No.
No.
Ooh.
I'm...
Should be.
Ah, okay.
How about take?
Okay.
Yes.
Take's good. Nice.
It was a partnership. I would never have thought of it.
All right.
Without
I
your...
really thought it was make. I remembered it starting with an M. Oh, well. All right. Sorry. All right. So I hover around. I'm calling Towns on Tales, which is a joke just for me. Name the authors whose characters populated each of these fictional towns.
Mm.
So get ready to write, I guess.
How many you got?
I got 10.
Is this another Douglas Adams question?
No, I don't think I... Did I ask any?
Yeah, in your history.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Oh, right, about 1984 and the apple.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so the first one is Ankh-Morpork. Ankh-Morpork. Second one, River Heights. Next is Castle Rock. Ew, I'm going to take this one out based on articles I read today. So, no. So, 9. The next one is Ilium, New York.
New York?
Yes, Ilium, New York.
I know what that... All right.
Next one is the Nightmare City of Rulia. Many pronunciations
is
of that
the
word.
Whole, is that the whole name, Nightmare City?
It's mostly called Rulia, but it's also often referred to as the Nightmare City of...
How do you spell it?
R apostrophe L Y E H with many different pronunciations.
Mm-hmm.
Next one, St. Mary Mead.
Oh.
Next one, Vale of Blandings in Shropshire. Next, Wessex. And finally, Yoknapatawpha County,
yeah.
Mississippi.
Mm, all right.
And you're asking for authors or specific works?
Authors, because most of these figure in a variety of works.
Okay. Go ahead.
You go.
It's up to you.
All right. Wessex is Thomas Hardy.
That's correct.
Ankh-Morpork is Discworld, right? By
I'll start you off, sir.
Yeah, it's the guy who's not Douglas Adams and he's not Neil Gaiman. He's the other guy that I've never read. Yeah. Terry Pratchett.
Terry Pratchett. That's correct.
All right. Okay. Carry on.
Castle Rock is Castle Rock, Maine. That's Stephen King. Mm-hmm.
And the one with all the hyphens and a nightmare has to be Lovecraft.
Yes. Yeah, it's an apostrophe.
Apostrophe. That's what I meant when I said hyphens.
Yes. The Nightmare City interpretation of the pronunciation here is H.P. Lovecraft.
Right. St. Mary Mead. Is that Agatha Christie?
Yep.
That's Miss Marple's, where Miss Marple is, I think.
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Now, I'm going to just add, so Ilium, New York, I have an idea that pins it to actually a single book. Is that wrong?
I believe it. It's been a while since I read the entire set of books.
Then I'm wrong. All
right. It's not a single set. I'm just talking about his entire...
Yeah, but if it's not a single work, then I'm wrong about that. Okay. Yaknapatawpha County is where a lot of Faulkner gets set.
Yes.
And I think I'm out.
All right. Leave out the... What do we have left?
We've got River Heights, Ilium, New York, and Vale of Blandings, Shropshire.
I almost said Archie for River Heights. Riverdale.
Yeah, you know what? That's not a terrible guess.
All right. I've never read any of these books, but Ilium, New York sounds like it could be John Updike.
Oh, I see. No.
Okay.
So there's more than one book which features Ilium, New York.
That's correct.
I thought about Updike, too, because of Rabbit.
He's in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Zeed. How are you?
Good.
So in memory of Veterans Day, unfortunately, most of the homeless people on the street in the Bay Area and many die from cold and everything are veterans. But since the Independence War, how many Americans died in war until today, do you think?
Boy.
That's a really celebration of this because it is awful. How many died in wars?
It's not a celebration, it's a remembrance.
How many?
I'll say 800. No, wait a minute. I was going to say 800,000. I think it's under a million, isn't it? It's under a million, I believe.
Yeah, quite right. Under a million. By approximate.
850,000.
No, less than that.
All right.
683,000.
That's it? Oh.
That's it. Well, that's a lot of people, you know.
That's a lot of people, but it's not 800,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, the majority of them died through the Civil War.
Right.
Believe it or not.
Of disease.
Vietnam was about almost 60,000, and Iraq was about 6,000.
Right.
And it is just awful. Okay. From 1900 until 1994, how many people died in wars? Civilians and military.
You mean worldwide?
Mostly civilians, really. Yeah, mostly civilians.
All over the world?
1900 to 1994, in one century, about.
So all over the world?
All over the world, yeah, it's all over the world.
10 million.
No, it's more than that.
More than that.
Yes.
That's World War II alone.
Yeah, I'll say...
World War II was 40 million.
I was going to say like 100 million?
More than that.
More than 100 million.
Yeah.
150 million.
Different figures, but the highest it is 262 million people died in wars and conflict. That is just an awful lot. Right. Very quick question for your audience, and we have to stop it. I mean, it really shows that we are not civilized. We are the most savage species that Earth bear. We just are a very savage group, and war continue, and all for profit. There's no reason to have wars whatsoever.
What's your question?
Very quick question for your audience, which I asked before, but please don't answer it. Leave it to the audience.
Okay.
Well, the first one is true color of water. What color water is? Don't answer it. And the second one, the only two elements that are liquid at room temperature. Don't answer it. Let people call in and we'll answer.
All right.
Two elements liquid at room temperature and the true color of water.
All right.
Thank you. Very good show.
Thank you,
Bye-bye.
Ed. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
And Let's see. I believe, Josh, it is your turn.
All right. I have a question here that I got from my friend Ian Tullis, the great puzzle guru of the South Bay. And he says this. In 1874, an American farmer named Joseph Glidden received a patent for an invention that would go on to transform the landscape of the American West as thoroughly as the railroads did. What was it?
Barbed wire.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. That's a thing everybody knows but me, huh?
I guess so. But now you do, too.
I knew it. All right. Well, let me see what I got for you that's... All right. Well, let me ask you this. This will take some time. We can fill some space with this. Of the four major sports, baseball, hockey, football, and basketball, mm-hmm. there are 12 teams that have... No, there are more. I'm sorry, wait. 15. Teams that have alliterative names, that is, the city that they're in and the name of the team start with the same letters.
Does it have to be city, though?
No, I'm sorry, you're right. The geographical designation and the team name start with the same letters. And we're doing this by spelling, not by sound, so we're not counting the New York Knicks.
All right.
So I've got all 15 of them. They're actually quite evenly divided among the sports.
Once more.
Four for each sport, except three for the hockey, for NHL. How many alliterative sports franchises can you come up with?
Right. Tennessee Titans and Jacksonville Jaguars?
That's two right
Very
off
good.
The bat.
Excellent.
What else?
I have to think about this. I spent a little time thinking about these things. Let's see. Okay. I'll mull it over.
All right.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi. Well, I had a Beatles answer, but they answered it.
Tell us again.
Hmm?
Tell us again, just so you can get the bell.
Oh, no. Insecure was in Help.
That's right.
There you go.
Give her a bell.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. The King of Queens. My name is Fran from San Francisco.
Hi.
Hi. King of Queens TV show. Okay, Leah Remini, Kevin James starred in this show, and also Jerry Stiller.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to know the character names. What was Kevin James' name on the show and his wife?
I did not watch the... I may have seen one or two episodes of it, but I don't think I really watched it. Wasn't his first name Kevin?
He was the star, but I want his character name in the show.
No, but wasn't his character name Kevin as well?
I don't think so.
Okay, all right. No, I can't do it.
I don't know.
Anybody else know?
No, never seen it.
But we'll be glad to leave it out if somebody wants to call in with an answer.
What, do I have to stay on the phone?
No, you don't have to stay on the phone. It's okay.
Okay.
All right, we'll put you on hold.
I have one more question.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Red Skelton, he had a TV show,
right?
And he did a lot of skits. One of his skits involved a bird, and I want to know the name of his bird in the character.
There were two birds.
Okay.
Gertrude and Heathcliff.
Yes, that's
the
right.
The seagulls.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. And so what about...
Don't forget that bell on that
That's
one.
My child. That's what Red Skelton was part of my
thank
childhood.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The King of Queens one, should we just leave it open?
Yeah, so we're going to put you on hold just for a minute just to give the answers to our board op, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right.
Seattle Seahawks, sorry.
Yes.
Very good. Good job. Nice. Good job. It's no Gertrude and Heathcliff.
No, it's not.
All right.
I bow to your Gertrude and Heathcliff.
All right, I have a convoluted question for you.
Good.
I'm going to give you the names of nine actors, and these actors all played characters, either historical or literary, that had operas named after them. So I'm going to give you the names of nine actors.
Mm-hmm.
These actors all played characters, either historical or literary, that had operas named after those characters. Got it?
But the actors are in a movie that's not the opera.
But they just happen to play the same characters.
Got it.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm going to sit here and think about sports.
All right, you do that.
All right, bring them on.
All right, so here are the nine actors. Number one, Jack Palance. Number two, Cornell Wilde. Number three, Charlton Heston. Number four, Jose Ferrer. Number five, Rex Harrison. Number six, Louise Brooks. Number seven, Rita Hayworth. Number eight, Victor Mature. And number nine, Walter Matthau. So again, these nine actors all played characters in the movies, either historical or literary, that had operas named after those characters. Number one, Jack Palance. Number two, Cornell Wilde. Number three, Charlton Heston. Number four, Jose Ferrer. Number five, Rex Harrison. Number six, Louise Brooks. Number seven, Rita Hayworth. Number eight, Victor Mature. Number nine, Walter Matthau. I'll give you each two guesses.
I would like to transfer my two guesses over to Josh.
No, you can still only have two guesses.
Ah, oh, come on, man.
No.
Sorry, I've got zero.
All right.
I only know three of them.
I'm going to do all three. Sure,
I'm going to take. No, I got three of them.
All right.
Charlton Heston played Moses in the Ten Commandments, and then went on to be a character in Schoenberg's opera Moses and Aaron.
I'm going to give you a small bell, but that's not the one, because the one I'm looking for, the name of the. There's only one character name as the title of the opera. So,
well, you didn't say anything about the title
that's,
of the opera.
This is true. But there's another one. Let's put it that way. But I'll give you credit for that.
I think I'll take credit for that.
All right.
Jose Ferrer played Cyrano de Bergerac, who then went on to be the subject of an opera by Franco Alfano.
Very good.
And Louise Brooks. Now, let me see if I can remember how this goes. Louise Brooks plays Lulu, who is the title character of Alban Berg's opera, but the name of the movie is not Lulu because it's based on the Wedekind play, which is called something else. And now I'll
leave it out for people if they want to. They want to deal with that.
But it's Lulu.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
it's
right.
Lulu. So I'll give you a bell for that.
I'll take a bell.
All right. So you got Charlton Heston in Moses and Aaron.
Charlton
but there's Heston, another
but there's
Charlton
another
Heston.
Charlton Heston.
Yes, there is. Probably. I would say a more famous. Well, you would be the best judge of that. Possibly a more famous opera. Louise Brooks, Lulu, very good. Alban Berg, and Jose Ferrer, Cyrano de Bergerac, very good. Okay,
I'm not familiar with the. Interesting. Okay.
All right.
Oh. Yeah, I got another one, but I'll let it go. Okay.
For Charlton Heston?
No, for Victor Mature.
Wait on that.
I'll hold off on that.
And, by the way, let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. We'll pass halfway. So, Kira, what do you have?
I believe the only thing I have out are, I'd like the authors whose characters populated each of these fictional towns, and I've got River Heights, Ilium, New York, and Vale of Blandings, Shropshire.
And I want to know, what's the only Beatles song to include the word crawled in the lyrics, C-R-A-W-L-E-D? And looking for alliterative sports franchises, Kira picked off three of the four NFL teams that fall under this category. That would be the Jacksonville Jaguars, Tennessee Titans, and Seattle Seahawks.
Did she also pick off the New York Nets in basketball?
No.
Okay.
There you go.
Why don't I have that on my list?
Because I might be wrong about that. I don't know. I thought it was the New York Nets, but I don't know basketball.
Might be the New Jersey Nets. Either way, it should be on the list. Okay, good. That's off the list now. She picked it off. But there's still plenty more.
All right. Set, S-E-T, the word, has the most meanings in the Oxford English Dictionary, 464. What are the four runners-up? Actually, we only need three because take was one of them, and I think Josh got that. So there are three left on that list. And I gave you a list of actors who played characters, either historical or literary, who had operas based on those characters. And the operas, the character of the character they played is in the name of the opera. So keep that in mind. So the ones we have left are Jack Palance, Cornell Wilde, Charlton Heston, there's two, Rex Harrison, Rita Hayworth, Victor Mature, and Walter Matthau. And two numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Sorry about that. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. First of all, Joshua, the Lindbergh baby crack. Too soon, man. Too soon.
I'm sorry.
Too soon. Yeah.
Let's see. The the basketball one. They're the Brooklyn Nets now, I believe.
Okay.
Oh, that explains why.
Did they used to be the New York Nets?
They used to be the New Jersey Nets.
New Jersey
That's
Nets.
What I thought, yeah.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Take back that bell.
Right. Yeah. But I'll guess. How about the LA Lakers?
Yep.
And the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Good.
And I don't know. Are you counting the Anaheim Angels?
I wasn't.
Well, that seems
but sure, but why
technically,
not?
Technically, they're the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
That's what I was going to say. There's
name.
Some, yeah, but we'll give
so
you a bell.
I could see why now. Right. Well, thanks. I'd like to, let's see, Ed's question, and I'd like to throw in with him, I'm against war also. I think it's bad. let's see, liquid room temperature is mercury is one of them, I think.
Yes, yeah. I believe you're right.
And let's see, meanings in the OED, I'll guess, go?
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yay. And is?
No.
No? No way. Okay, then I've got one question. What is the largest in area place named for a U.S. president outside of the U.S.?
Still? I mean...
Still.
Yeah,
currently, sure.
So not Mount McKinley, then?
How about...
No.
About,
oh, Mount McKinley's in Austin. Never mind.
How about Monrovia, Liberia?
Nice.
No. Nope.
Bigger than that.
Bigger than it.
Bigger than that.
Bigger than a city?
Named for... What did you say?
And it's actually named for the president. It's not a shared name, like they both happen to be the same
no,
name.
No, it is named specifically for the president. Hmm.
So when you say outside the U.S., you mean... Okay. You mean the U.S. does not...
The U.S. does not own it, never has. It is not a territory. It is not... Yeah. They never laid claim to it.
Interesting.
Is it a mountain?
It is not a mountain.
Is it in Antarctica?
That's a good
question. It is not. It is a populated area.
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
Gee, I really liked Monrovia as a guess.
Monrovia is a good guess, but it's larger than that.
Is it named for a 20th century president?
It is not.
Is it named for one of the first three presidents?
It is not.
Okay.
What? Rutherford B. Hayes.
I thought Dana would know this because I think it's his favorite president.
Rutherford B. Hayes?
It is, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
And today it's his birthday.
Wait a minute. It's coming to me. I did read something about this. Oh, my. Rutherford B. Hayes. Yes, they did name something. No, it's not a city. It's, give me a kind of, sort of a kind of a hint, if you can.
Island, right? Island?
No. Yeah, no, it's a part of a country, kind of equivalent to a state.
Is it in South America?
It is, yes.
Is it in Bolivia or Paraguay?
No, Paraguay, very good.
Paraguay, all right.
Yeah, there's a state in Paraguay, which actually is, I think, like 60% of the entire country called El Presidente Hayes.
Wow,
really? He oversaw or had something to do with the war, the treaty ending the war between, I believe it was an indigenous Indian tribe, and then it all was also involved Bolivia and Paraguay. Argentina. I'm sorry, thank you. In the 1870s.
He adjudicated. I guess they had him come in to adjudicate the whole thing, and he determined that the land should belong to... Paraguay, the capital is called Villa Hayes. So,
excellent.
Yeah.
All right.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate that.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. And, Kira, I think it's your turn.
What about in or give?
Another one.
Okay. Yeah, a quick question. The tombstone of what celebrity who died in 1982 is an open square with an X in it, likely implying a role he was most famous for, or not most famous for, but pretty famous for.
In the X-Men?
Is it Paul Lynde?
He's Paul Lynde.
Oh, excellent.
Yep, the
good
center
job
square.
All right.
Okay.
All right, you can give us something else.
Yeah. All right.
Good.
Okay. I'm not going to do that one. Sorry. So of the current British Overseas Territories, which one is the biggest by area, the smallest by area, the most highly populated with a permanent population, and the one with the lowest non-zero population?
Non-zero population.
Yeah.
I would say the lowest. Well, I don't know about the non-zero. I think Pitcairn Island.
That's
is
what
like,
I was going to guess.
That's correct. Yeah. It's right around 50.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's down to 50 now. And good place to buy real estate. Well, smallest. Is Gibraltar the smallest?
It is. Smallest by area.
Okay.
2.5 square miles.
All right. All right.
So what are the? So you took the easy ones. All right. Thanks. Thanks for nothing, dude. So we're looking for the biggest one.
Biggest by area.
Uh huh.
And the most highly populated with permanent population.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Permanent population.
As opposed to say, like a military base.
Or, right. Right.
Right.
I assume that the most populous is going to be whatever ones are still in the Caribbean that are still. I mean, is it Bermuda?
Yes, Bermuda.
All right,
okay. See, shoots, he scores.
You figured it out.
I did.
So right. Now we just need the biggest by area.
Are these islands as well?
This answer is not.
No,
an
this is whatever chunk of Antarctica they've got.
Yes, the British Antarctic Territory, 660,000 square miles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Great questions.
All right. Good.
Hooray!
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hey, Peter.
One of the Beatles crawled up to sleep in the bath in Norwegian Wood.
That's right. Well done.
Good.
And Ilium, New York appears in Slaughterhouse-Five by Kurt Vonnegut.
Among other places, but good. Yes, that is absolutely correct.
Good job.
And I have a film question for you.
Yes.
Okay, I'm looking for the name of an actor who made two films of very similar titles. It's a five-word title in both cases. Actually, you could claim that it's a four-word title because there's a contraction with an apostrophe. Only one word different in the two titles.
So, once more, there are five-word titles, but there's a apostrophe.
Yeah.
And both of them are five-word titles.
Yes.
But they don't both have apostrophes.
They both have apostrophes.
Oh,
yes.
They both have apostrophes.
Yes. The final word is different in the two film titles.
How long ago is this? If you
this is mid 20th century.
And I'm sorry, did you say it's a director or an actor?
An actor.
Actor.
And yeah. are they related? Is one a sequel to the other, or are they just
well,
kind of?
One, the first one I have never seen, and the second one I have seen more times than I can count.
But what I mean is the similarity in titles just a coincidence, or is it deliberate?
I do not know.
Okay.
In fact, I had never heard of the first film until just recently.
These are American films?
American films, yes.
If you say mid-20th century...
First one was made in 1939.
Oh.
And the second one was made in 1947.
And the second one is the one you know very well?
Yeah, I've seen it every year for... forever.
Huh.
Does that make it a Christmas movie?
Yeah.
Okay. Miracle on 34th. No, that's
yeah,
only
Miracle
two,
on 34th
four.
Avenue.
Yeah.
The Bells of St. Mary's and the Bells of St. somebody
no.
else's.
No.
St. Finian's.
No.
No.
Wrong years.
No.
What about It's a Wonderful Life?
Yes.
Oh.
That's 47.
That's
And
four words.
46.
Yeah, but he said four or five.
Yeah, with
all right, so and it's a wonderful prequel.
It's
a Wonderful World, 1939.
Very good.
And they both had Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah.
Oh, well done.
All right.
Good question.
It's
good
a Wonderful job. World is quite a funny movie, by the way.
I'll have to see it sometime.
Yes.
All right.
Bye-bye. Nice.
Good night.
And let's see.
I don't really have any short ones. I've got long lists of stuff. So
all right.
Why don't you pick up and I'll...
Okay. I'll give you.
I could give you these. I've got because these won't take you long. You can knock these out. I have some abbreviations that I took out of the dictionary. I want you to tell me what they stand for. All right, BMOC. These are all acronyms. BMOC, GIGO, POTS, RICE, and MEGO. So these are all acronyms that are actually listed in the dictionary for phrases that the Webster's people.
Big man on campus.
BMOC is big man on campus.
And get in, get out?
No. GIGO stands for something similar, but not exactly what you just said. So let me just run them down again. BMOC, Dana jumped on that because he is the big man around here.
That's right.
GIGO, POTS, RICE, MEGO.
Oh, they must want garbage in, garbage out.
Garbage in, garbage out.
That's
exactly
good.
Right.
All right, leave the rest. All right, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Fred in West Virginia.
Hi.
Okay, Ilium, New York, Kirk Vonnegut.
Yes.
Good.
Okay, and the other, I'm a fan of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Well done.
Good job.
Okay, and I just happened to see on the Turner Network, in collaboration perhaps with the latest Republican Senate scandal, the replacement for Jeff Sessions regarding a 14-year-old?
Yes.
Lolita was on.
How timely.
And I wondered, was it nominated for an Academy Award, and for what? The 1962 version.
I don't think it was nominated for Best Picture. I guess I could be wrong about that.
Screenplay?
Screenplay. Adaptation.
Adaptation, right.
Good. Was Shelley Winters nominated by any chance?
No, the only Academy Award nomination I saw was
All
Best
right.
Adapted Screenplay.
All right.
And I wanted the competition in 1962 for that category.
Hmm.
Very famous movies.
Oh, 62. For a Best Adapted Screenplay?
Yeah.
Is that Ben-Hur?
It's Ben-Hur 59. 62. Lawrence of Arabia?
Exactly, one nomination.
That's the Best Picture.
Which one won the category?
62. I don't know if I can name the other ones. It wasn't Lawrence of Arabia, I take it.
That was nominated. Also, excellent.
No, but
you haven't had the winner of that category.
No, don't know it right offhand. Sorry.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sure.
All right.
Awfully good category.
Who did the screenplay? Sterling Silverman? No, that's not right.
The screenplay was the author, Vladimir Nabokov,
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Ooh. Harper was the
writer. She didn't do the screenplay.
Ooh. So, you got me.
All right. Thank you, though.
Put it out there.
I will.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. I'm going to jump in again on the actors who played characters that are in operas. Victor Mature. I don't remember who played Delilah, but the only thing I know about Victor Mature is that he played Samson.
That's correct.
In Samson and Delilah, which then went on to become an opera by...
Two different operas.
Sure. Okay.
All right.
I know exactly who it is, and I'm blanking on it now.
Handel.
Look like a fool.
Is one.
Oh, Samson.
Samson,
the
opera with
oratorio.
Only Samson's name
it's
in
an
it
oratorio.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. But it's Saint-Saëns.
That's
Samson and
Delilah. Right.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay.
Seattle Supersonics and the Boston Bruins?
I'll give you a bell for the Boston Bruins. The Seattle Supersonics have been consigned to the rubbish heap of history.
Oh,
they no longer exist.
Oh, right.
Did I mention that I don't know basketball?
That's right. She knows names.
There you go.
Okay. I'll give you a quick question here. Who was the first reigning queen of England? Not a consort queen, a reigning queen.
Of England?
Yes. Who was the first reigning queen
Isn't
of England?
It Matilda?
No.
No?
That was not of England. That was one of the parts that ended up becoming England, I think.
Then we go to Elizabeth I?
No.
Someone in between?
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And it wasn't Mary. Was it Mary?
Yes.
Queen of Scots?
No.
Different Mary?
Different Mary.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, her sister. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
Mary the first.
All
right,
good
job.
That
wrong. Yes.
All right.
Was she not Queen of Scots?
No, that's a different
one.
That's a
different.
Okay. That's their cousin.
Well, I was still thinking of the sister, but evidently.
1553.
Yeah.
All right, good. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, is that me?
It is you.
Oh, this is Katie in Berkeley.
Hi, Katie.
And before I forget, I want to say I love your show.
Thank you very much.
And I can't believe I'm trying to answer a sports question. But
right?
Philadelphia Phillies.
Good.
Good. Good, good, good.
And San Jose Sharks.
Yes.
Good.
Local.
And Seattle Seahawks.
Right. Good.
That's it for me.
Thank
well
you.
Done.
You did very well.
You're a sports goddess.
Yeah.
Hardly. Thank you.
Thank you very
Bye.
Much. And please give us a call. We have got 10 minutes left in the show. We can take as many calls as we can.
Don't sound so desperate.
And we have calls on the line. So it's 415-841-4134. I don't be left here with just you. 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. Okay. I think maybe Gary will get this very quickly. What band was named after a 17th century English agronomist?
Dude, I'm right here. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Agronomist?
Yeah. Oh. Inventor of the drill bit thing.
All right, go
it
ahead.
It was Jethro Tull.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good job.
Sorry.
It's my era.
Yeah.
17th century?
No, Jethro Tull.
Jethro Tull.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's just his favorite metal band. So.
Yeah. All right. Very good.
I love Jethro Tull.
Yes.
And let's go to a call. You're the one.
Yes. Jethro Tull are great.
Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, is that me again?
It is you.
Hi. Sorry. I think I got dropped out of line before. This is Hayes from San Francisco.
Hi, Hayes.
I've lost about 10 minutes, so I don't know if anyone answered the question about the number of definitions, but is 4 one of the definitions with the most?
I'll just read you the question. Set, S-E-T, the word, has the most meanings in the Oxford English Dictionary, 464.
Right.
What are the four runners-up? And we actually had two left. The two that people got were go and take.
What about fall?
No.
What about stand?
Yes.
Oh,
nice.
Okay.
Stand as well.
I knew it was one or the other.
Good job.
And the other thing about RICE, that's rest, ice, compression, and elevation.
Well done.
Good.
My training before. All right. Thanks, guys. Great show as
Thank
usual.
You. Thank you, Hayes.
See you.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
It's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hey, Thomas.
Horton Foote wrote the screenplay.
Thank you very much.
Well
I appreciate
done.
You saying that.
I think the only guess I have is for Rita Hayworth as Carmen.
No. It's, I guess I could.
She did play Carmen.
She did The Loves of Carmen. Yeah, she did that. I'll give you a provisional bill
there.
On it. That wasn't the one I had in mind, but yeah,
okay.
it's legit. Is that it?
That's all I got.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Thomas.
Thanks. Bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. If you'd like to give us a quick call, the numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Kira, do you have any quick questions?
Sure. We'll do this one. The Chodo brothers were responsible for what 1988 cult classic in which evil aliens use crazy straws to exsanguinate the humans they've trapped in cotton candy cocoons?
The which brothers now?
Chodo brothers. They, among other things,
is this
are
the killer
puppeteers.
Clowns?
But where are the killer clowns
killer
from?
Killer clowns from outer space?
That's it.
Yeah,
yep.
All right. Oh, yeah.
Easy peasy.
Yep.
Lemon squeezy. All right. Rex Harrison played Henry Higgins, who is essentially interchangeable with Pygmalion from Greek mythology,
Too convoluted.
Okay.
No.
You're giving me this question, and then you're telling me my
answer.
Well,
your answer is even more convoluted.
Okay. All right. Jack Palance. I don't know anything about
that's,
Jack
Palance.
Oh, that's
my Palance. Favorite.
Played Dusty.
No.
But many loves of Dusty.
No.
All right. Cornell Wilde. Some of these old guys, all I know about Cornell Wilde is he played Chopin.
That's it. Right.
Well,
yes.
There's a Chopin
there
opera?
There is an opera called Chopin. Yes.
Really?
There is indeed.
Who wrote such a thing?
I may be mispronouncing the name. Is it Orifice? Orifice?
Orifice is, yeah, I mean, that's, okay. I'm not familiar with that piece.
All right, yes.
But all right, Cornell Wilde.
Very good. Okay.
And Walter Matthau.
Mm.
This is interesting. What did help me out, Kira? What did Walter Matthau play besides you know, half the odd couple.
He's a grumpy old man.
Grumpy old man, yes.
Wasn't he in Charade?
Yes.
He was in Charade, but that's
there's
not
nobody
it.
There.
He was in The Couch Trip.
He was in that movie with Elaine May called New Leaf.
A New Leaf, no.
We don't know.
No. All right, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, Lisa in San Francisco. I love your show.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate it.
So, has anyone guessed the Chicago Cubs?
No, you're the first to do so. Well done.
Okay, and I had some of the Sharks, but that was just guessed as well. Regarding Rex Harrison,
yes,
this is a bit of a push.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pygmalion is the George Bernard Shaw play, but My Fair Lady is the musical, but it's not an opera. Does that count?
Josh tried that already.
That's okay. It's just, I know how you feel. He shot me down very brutally on that one.
All right. And I can't recall the town.
River.
It was Shropshire and the author relation, but
yes.
Could it be A.E. Hausman?
That's a good guess.
It's a good guess, like, and you're correct on the on using first and middle initials, but wrong author.
Okay, and then lastly, the word with the most definition, numerous definitions in the Oxford Dictionary. Could it be match?
It is not.
Ooh,
that's a good
guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, I have a question for you. It's a very nerdy question.
Very quickly. We're almost out of time.
All right. San Francisco Planning Department is required to produce a dashboard of produced housing each month. So where do we stand percentage-wise? These are 2020 targets for low income. What percentage have we built thus far? For middle income, what percentage have we built thus far?
Oof.
And for high income or market rate, where are we?
I don't know. We have time for this. I'll take a very quick guess. Are they all under 5 or 6%?
Low income and mid income are very low.
Yeah.
But market rate will blow your mind.
What is it?
We're at 220%. We've exceeded our 2020 target by 220%.
Amazing. I can believe that.
We're at 21% mid-income and 40% low-income creation.
Right. I'm sorry we have to run. I apologize.
Okay, bye-bye.
But we're almost out of time. All right, time to clean up here. What
look? Is look the other one?
No.
You tried that.
Oh, well. Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't write it down. Sorry. Okay. So Vale of Blandings, Shropshire, that's Blandings Castle and PG Wood House.
Oh.
River Heights, that's where Nancy Drew took place. Carolyn
Keene. Oh, okay.
And I think that's all I had.
All right.
The acronyms that we're still missing were POTS, which is Plain Old Telephone Service, and MEGO is My Eyes Glaze Over. That's in the dictionary. A couple of alliterative sports franchises, Pittsburgh Penguins, Miami Marlins, Buffalo Bills, Washington Wizards, and San Antonio Spurs.
Mm.
Cosman out.
All right. Let's see. The word with the most meanings that nobody got, run, R-U-N.
Oh, sure.
The actors who played characters, either historical or literary, that has operas named after them. Jack Palance was Attila in the opera Attila, Verdi. Or he wasn't in that opera.
Yeah.
But, Charlton Heston was El Cid in the Massenet opera. Rex Harrison played Julius Caesar in the opera Caesar Handel. You may say it's an oratorio.
Yeah, I would say Louis Calhoun, but okay.
Okay, there you go. Rita Hayworth, Salome.
Oh.
Walter Matthau was Einstein in IQ and Einstein on the beach. So, anyway.
Well done.
All right.
All right.
If we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. My great thanks to Kira Pace, technical editor, Joshua Cosman, classical music critic from the San Francisco Chronicle. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. My thanks to David LaTulipe and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. And please make a point to join us next Sunday at 7. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Can't you see it's got to be one way or the other? If it ain't full, it's blank. If you don't spend, you bank. If it ain't B, it's Frank. It's gotta be this or that.